to his disciples, 12 disciples. And then on the day of Pentecost, there was 120, I believe, that they imparted that spirit. Now, then they were so excited and filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts that in one day they passed that on to 3,000 people, men, let alone families, women, children. It says, 3,000 men. Wow. Wow. That was an explosion of the Holy Spirit and truth. Then a little later, it moved on to 5,000 men in one day was saved. Let alone women and children. What in the world happened? Let me see what the name of this. Barna Group, an evangelical group, did a poll. And they found that atheists had a divorce rate of 21%. And born-again Christians have a divorce rate of 27%. Atheists are outdoing the born-again Christians. Can you imagine what a divorce is like? It's chaos. It hurts both them involved. It hurts the parents. It hurts the children. Wow. What in the world has happened to that first church? Well, within 50 to 70 years, it was turning bad. And in 1 Corinthians 3:3, it talks about envy and strife and divisions. And 1 Corinthians 5:1, fornication among you. In verse 2, pride. And in Galatians 1:6, they were preaching a different gospel. So 50 to 70 years, that great anointing had started to turn bad. Okay? So what in the world happened? Well, they didn't duplicate. They didn't duplicate. Why didn't they duplicate? And that's what I'm going to talk about right now, so we don't make the same mistakes that they made. Some believe that God is responsible for everything. Those who believe that God controls everything, and they're wrong. And that God has predestinated some to fail and some to succeed. Then why in the world in Genesis 6:6 does it say that God repented that he even made man? Wow. If everything was predestinated, why didn't he predestinate it right? If God is in control of every detail of life, why would he repent that he even made man? Man was so sinful and so chaotic. He says, I repent that I have ever made man. Okay? Okay. In John 12:31 and 14:30, it calls the Satan the prince of this world. He's the prince of this world. So he is the behind the deterioration. But how did he do it? Let's turn to Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles, and that word in the Greek is elementary principles, baby principles. Now look what they call baby principles of doctrine. Doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, which means spiritual maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God. These are called elementary doctrines. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Some people get caught up in baptisms. And laying on the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and the return of punishment. Well, these are all important doctrines, but they call them elementary doctrines or baby doctrines. And this we will do if God permit. Now let's go to Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, and that same word there is elementary principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's two words basically for evil. One's hurtful and one is useless. Here it uses the word useless. Okay? So what they're saying here is that you need to discern by exercising in the word righteousness and through experience. You need to discern what's good, expressing good, and useless. So often we're expressing useless. We're living uselessly. And then I think it's Matthew, it says people who are unprofitable, they don't use their gifts, shall be put into outer darkness. Okay? And there'll be gnashing of teeth. Wow, I didn't want to be that guilty of that. Now, what took place in the last... what happened here was they focused on doctrines, even important doctrines, which is meant for babies. Elementary. So what they did was focused on doctrines instead of truth that would change a person's life. You know, that's what's important, is that we share truth, transforming truth, so that people can change. You see? And that's what we do here. And that's why we have a solid foundation, you know. And 'cause some of you were back in the 80s, early 90s, like Joe. Joe was a bad guy. And his wife, Amy, stole. And I had to call her in the office, and she was a stealer. It's okay if I share that. They've told me I can. You know? So now he's the minister here, preacher, and he has a lovely wife that's been married how many years?
31.
31 years. Whoa. So, you know, and Marcia, man, she was a toughie. She was a fighter. She would slap you. She took on my son and tried to fight him. And she was a mean, disgusting person. Now look at her now. Isn't she sweet? Loving? How long have we been married? 31 years there or so. Something like that. And I can testify that she is a sweet, wonderful person. I know all of you know that. So, and Patty, the backslider up in Alaska. I won't get into vault. I didn't get permission. Okay. So the deal is, what happened? They focused on doctrines and not transforming truth. Okay? So in Malachi 4, 5 and 6, chapter 4, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. Okay. Now, John the Baptist in Matthew 17 and 10 through 13, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch. See, that was supposed to be the end times back 2,000 years ago. And I preached a sermon, I think, last year on New Year's, and I think it's on the website, about proving that that was supposed to be the end times then. And they blew it. You see? And so God sent a curse, and I think man just developed a curse, you know, but, you know, whatever it says. But and for the last 2,000 years, they had a black plague. People didn't own their land. If you have a newlywed, a royalty could come up and take her. You're getting ready to get married, and he'll take her and lay with her before you do. Okay? It was a bad time. We have rumors of war and war. A lot of bad things happened. And those for the last 2,000 years. And not until Martin Luther in 1517, I think, had the 95 Theses, did things start to change. You had to buy your salvation. You had to go to the priest and buy your salvation in some cases. At least they were in control of the Bible. You cannot have a Bible and read the common person like we do now. So it was a mess. And in one period of time, the Pope had homosexuals what you call them? Prostitutes. Surrounded, you know. I'm not talking about the Catholic faith in general. We have had bad things too. Okay? But what happened, there was a period of time. And then Martin Luther brought the idea of saving through faith and by grace. That's pretty normal to think that Most Christians believe that. But it was 1,500 years that before the truth started, the foundation of truth started taking place. And there was a lot of bad things that's happened since then. Okay? So, and what was lost through translations and prejudiced thoughts, you know, preconceived thoughts. Let me give you an example. In Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What was lost in that translation, and was lost in several translations, was here the evil is hurtful. And they've made it treasure, you know. So that word treasure is deposit. Okay? Deposit. So what I get from that is that we, during our life, we have bad, hurtful things deposited into our lives. And from our heart, then we are hurtful. Then we share hurt. I think this is the foundation of transformational truth, is to realize that people are hurt. And so they become hurtful. Okay? And you know, morality is different than self-centeredness. Morality is different than being hurtful. So people, the Pharisees, took pride in being moral. We've lost the concept of what evil is. It's hurt. We think, you know, getting drunk is evil. Stealing is evil. Fornication is evil. And they are expressions of hurt. But you can be moral and still hurtful by being self-centered. By the way you treat people. You see? So, you know, we need to go back and find out what is, you know, what these words mean. Okay? So, and Luke 9:23-24, and he said unto them, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Taking up the cross is dying to self. He says, deny himself. So the start is to become unself-centered, and that means looking through self, what you've experienced, because most of us have hurt, experienced hurt growing up. So all we have is, some people become religious, but not spiritual. And they're moral. They don't do all the classical sins, but they still don't deny themselves, take up the cross, and become dead so that Christ can flow through you. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we've, you know, most of you remember way back when I was talking about, you know, being crucified in Christ, you know, in the 80s, 90s. And but deny self and be dead to things. That way Christ can live through you. You'll become a better husband, a better wife, a better parent when you die to self and, you know, and die to everyone, die to your wife, die to your husband. Okay? I when I first married Marcia, I said, die to me. And she said, well, I'd like to kill you. You know? So I said, die to me so that you can have Christ flow through you. And I die to her. Okay? In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This was God's, I mean, Christ's anointing was to, you know, to preach to people that didn't pad your pocket through tithes. You know, we put a box in the back. We don't preach on tithes. And we've done that since the 80s, you know. So, and we work hard. We throw our money together. And like in Acts, it said they sold their possessions. We work together. And many of you do the same thing, okay? So, and he preached the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This was Christ's gospel, was to heal the brokenhearted. So many people are broken, brokenhearted. You know, they don't experience what they desire to experience. They preach deliverance to the captives. People, captives to, you know, materialism. They're captive to drugs, captive to cigarettes. They're captive, you know, to their anger. They're captive to their, you know, frustrations. We're talking about captives, you know, in many ways. And recovering of sight to the blind. I'm talking about spiritual blindness, you know, to help them see the truth. And to set at liberty, they are bruised, you know. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing of your mind is the same as putting a new man on in Colossians 3, 10. That's when we read about transformation. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're about. And I believe that we're going to touch the world. You know, God is pruning some in. You know, a bush, you prune, and it gets fuller. Or you prune, it leaves off. You know, we don't, with social media and through the internet and books and whatever, you don't need a lot of people to touch the world. You know, all of God's waiting on is for we don't make a fool out of transforming truth. That's why we're taking so long. Because we need to be transformed enough that we don't, you know, make a fool out of transforming truth. What if we preach transforming truth to the world? I'm writing a book. It'd be the details of transforming truth. And so, and we're going to have websites that, you know, that detail the, you know, answers the different situations. So, we don't need a lot of people to touch the world. We will do that. with transforming truth. We are proof that it works, you see. So Jimmy Swaggart, you had a $500 million ministry, and he had a ministry all over the world, but the poor guy, my wife Cynthia, back in the 80s, wrote him a prophecy that he would fall, because he thought everything was demons, you know, instead of hurt accumulated over a period of time. And he did fall. I'm glad he didn't stay down. He has a little church somewhere. But I was ministering to a lot of people at that time, street ministry, and they said, a lot of people said, well, if he can't make it, how in the world can I make it? You know? Because he spoke in tongues, and he did all kinds of things. He healed the sick. And so how in the world can I make it? And that was an example of why we're taking a long time to get where we're going. I don't want us to get, bands out there and this and that and the other, and we fail. Okay, now what do we die to? Okay, well, values decide how you live. Your values decide what you do. You know, if you value money, then you accumulate money. If you value possessions, you focus on possessions. If you value esteem, then you're a prisoner to everyone else. You know, if you value what people think of you, then you're a prisoner to them. So, so values determine your actions. Values determine what you do, you see. And so we've learned not to value anything but God, His purpose, and calling. Okay, so what did he value? He valued purpose, and he valued, you know, that's why he went to the cross. He also, in Luke 9:58, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Does that mean he was poor? No. He was willing to do whatever, live wherever, you know. So that's why I live in a basement. I tried to figure out how square foot it was, but I don't know for sure. It's 12 by about 30, you know, 30 feet. And so anyone figuring that?
360.
What? 360 square feet. I'm not bragging, but bragging. Well, I live in a fancy house. My credit is shot, but that's the way. You know, that's what I choose to do. I don't value where I live, and I don't value what people think of me. We had a big newspaper article, church or cult. Because people quit their jobs to go with me in Alaska. I think Frank did. So they said 78 people to Alaska? It was Jim Jones in Guyana. So, but I died to what people thought. I didn't care what people thought. That way, I had been happy for, what, 40-some years?
Yes, amen.
I have not been stressed. I am happy. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And I've had a good life. And I've been peaceful and loving. You know? So, it can't be all bad not to care what people think of you. Okay. In Matthew 6:25, it says, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet your body, what you should put on it. For life is more than meat, and body is more than raiment. And in Matthew 8:21-22, another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. So sometimes you've got to do things that are not seemly weird. Wouldn't it, if your father die, wouldn't you want to go to this funeral? And God says, Christ says, don't. You know, so, you know, you got to be willing to do whatever Christ wants you to do, okay? And okay, but I've made my point. I want to save time for our candle lighting service, which is traditional. It's meant to spread the gospel, spread the light. So, Transforming Truth, we're going to have a book tell you all the details of Transforming Truth. We're going to have websites that says, you know, if you got anger, if you've got, you're stealing or you're a prostitute, we're going to have all the answers on websites. And some of you are going to help me in that, okay? That's Elijah Ministries, you know. So praise the Lord. Brother, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I got that Stover voice. Hey, you got to turn it down a little bit. I'll blow everybody out of here.
Help a little. It takes all the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so someone finds salvation in truth, and they pass it on. Okay, so we're gonna pass it on. I'm gonna light my wife's candle, and she's going to spread the gospel testimony.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank God for this last year. I praise God for all of our trials and tribulations that we've had, all the pressure that we've all been under, because everything that we have been through has made us stronger. Amen.
Amen.
We have, it's just helped us with the truth that we have learned in as we applied it to our minds. And with God's help and the Holy Spirit's help, we've just got our character more defined. We've gotten wiser and smarter, and I am so looking forward to the year 2022 because I just think it's even going to be greater, and I'm excited to get to do that with the people that I love right here.
Amen.
Oh, and then I'll let yours.
I am so thankful for this past year. I feel like with each passing day, each week, each month, that I just have more freedom in how I feel and how I think, and that wouldn't be possible without the transforming truth in the Word, because that's the only thing that's ever helped me to feel that way, to be free from the torment that I have had in the past. And I'm just so thankful for the Word, and I'm just looking forward to being more transformed and experiencing more growth. And even though, you know, there's always trials ahead, and transformation is not always easy, the freedom that comes with it is so worth every moment.
You know, I got my hands to the plow, and I'm not looking back. I'm excited about 2022. I don't care what happened before. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen. I'm thankful for how far God's brought me, but I'm excited about what He's going to do.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm looking forward to the future because God has brought me so far. I think about how miserable and insecure I was for so much of my life, and how far God's brought me and transformed my thinking. And, you know, more than anything, I want to be that vessel that Christ can flow through, because that's what this world really needs, and that's all that really matters. The rest of this, the cares of life are just a distraction. You know, right now, I think most of us have this tendency to scroll our lives away. I mean, we've got all these distractions. And, you know, I just pray that I can not be distracted and keep focused on God's purpose.
I'm very thankful for this church and for all that it has brought into my life. I know that I've been here since I was very little, and I will not tell you how old I am. I am thankful that I've had all the chances that I've had, and that God continues to show me grace, and that I am able to continue on my journey to improve myself and become the person that I want to be in Christ.
Well, I just want to praise God for this last year, for the valleys and, you know, the mountains that we've climbed, and, you know, everything that we've been through this year just made us stronger. And I just look forward to the future and, you know, more things and that God is going to do in each one of us. And I just feel proud, and it's a privilege to be a part of this group, and I just love everyone here.
I want to become what Christ wants me to become. I want His absolute will.
Well, I'm not getting any younger, but in the next year, I hope I get even better at living for God and my light shining for the Lord.
I want to give God praise, first of all, for the miracles that we saw in 2020 and in 2021. We saw absolute miracles take place, and I'm very thankful for that. And I want to be, as our pastor said, I want to have my hand on the plow going forward, not backwards at all. I really want to focus and be able to help to heal and promote unity within our body and for all those that we reach, that we are in touch with every day.
I just want to continue to live my life for the Lord and continue in deepening my commitment, my transformation, and fulfilling the purpose that He's called me to.
I was trying to think about what to say. I feel like everybody said everything that I feel. I feel like I am looking forward to 2022, but I also just feel like every day is a new beginning, and it's just nice to be able to have like a new year to symbolize it. But you know, we're gonna go through the battles anyways, so it's nice to know that you can go through the same battles that everybody else would go through in the world, but have true peace through the battles, and to have a team of warriors standing next to you to support you on your journey to fulfill your purpose. So I just feel very thankful and am definitely looking forward to 2022 and everything that it has to offer as far as highs and lows. I want to fully embrace the lows because that's the only way that you're gonna, you know, grow from them. So,
you know, as always, what Caitlin said. So,
I am very thankful for. I forgot that part. I'm just thankful for the challenges that, 2021 brought, because I know without challenges, we can't become who God created us to be, because those challenges really help us to see people clearly and to understand what people go through. I suffered with anxiety this year, and instead of thinking, oh my goodness, anxiety, how embarrassing, I thought at it as, you know, anxiety, being able to feel that and, you know, learn how to think about it and think it through, in return can help other people going through the same thing. And I really think that's why we go through really hard things, is so we can help other people take transformational truth and apply it. And I'm thankful for everybody here in the Christian Church and Academy. I would not want to be anywhere else. This is where I belong, and I've been here. I think we've been here for almost 14 years, and I can 100% say that transformational truth does work if you apply it. You know, people can say things, but one thing that we know is absolutely true is that transformational truth absolutely does work if you listen to the truth and the testimonies here at the beginning, that it's real. So I'm looking forward to 2022. It's a mouthful, but I'm excited, and I'm bring it on. 2022 is all I gotta say.
So I think we were all excited when 2020 came, and then it was a big challenge, and 2021 was a challenge too. But I'm really looking forward to the future. And one of the things, when I was younger, I used to go on walks with Mike, and he would counsel me. I was really messed up kid, and one of the things he said to me one time was that he has no regrets. And that's been something that I've thought about over the years. Like, how in the world can you have no regrets when you have messed up so much? And a few weeks ago, I texted him and I said, I still can't grasp this. And I know you've said it, I want it, but I don't understand it. And he explained it to me that what you did in the past was the absolute best that you could do. And if you are living every day the best that you can, there's absolutely no room for regret. And it seemed like such a simple concept that I hadn't grasped at that point. And so what I'm looking forward to in the future is every day living to my very best, the very best what I can do, mistakes and all, so that I have no regrets. And so that I can change that feeling in the past. And then the other thing I want to say is just an encouragement to the older people. I'm part of the older group now. And so, and we see how excited the younger people are. But remember in Haggai, whenever the Lord said that the glory of the future house is going to be so much greater than the glory of the former house. And they were talking about rebuilding the temple at that time. And the young people got excited, and they were cheering, and they were blowing trumpets, and the older people were crying because they saw Solomon's temple, and like, we don't have the gold and the silver and all that stuff. But that's not what it was talking about. But let's not think about all that we've lost over these years, and how we had such a big group of missionaries, and now we're a small group, you know, because what we're building is going to be so much greater than what we had in the past. And so let's not bring down the younger people who are excited about
the future by us trying to relive the glory days, you know, and remember that, oh, it was so much better, because we remember, if we really remember, it wasn't. I mean, we had a lot more struggles, and because we had a lot more personality clashes and stuff. And so I'm thankful for the truth that we receive here. I'm thankful for the leadership that we've had, and the example that Mike has started in this and passed on to so many of us through his example, and then sharing Christ with us and helping us to really understand that, and that we can go out and share that with other people. And so I'm looking forward to that future.
Well, we all know that friends come and go, but there's a bond that's strong enough to fence. I mean, it's family. And this past year has been a tough one, but then I remembered that I've got all my family here. And for next year, whatever Satan throws at us, we're going to throw it right back at him. Because he made the throw bullets at us, but we're going to throw bullets right back at him.
So Donna mentioned she's not getting any younger. I'm thankful that I get to continue to get older. And after this year that I've gone through, and I want to live every day to its fullest and become the person that Christ created me to be.
I guess I don't really have anything to say, but I guess I'm just excited to start a new year.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited to start a new year, this last year. Actually, I see it as a blessing. There's actually some good things that have happened. My daughter married a missionary, and they're definitely pursuing God and sharing truth. And I'm just very excited about this coming year, and to learn more. I know I have still a lot to learn, and it excites me to be able to touch the world and just fulfill whatever we're doing, and to touch the brokenhearted and everything like that. So I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited for a new year and to see what it brings with my baby girl. And 2021 was very challenging for me as a mom, but I'm so thankful for my church, and I'm thankful for everyone that, you know, texted me and, you know, just made me feel like I wasn't alone. And I've been coming to this church since, well, I don't know, I was like 5 or something. But I've grown through different people coming and going. But I'm thankful for the people that are here and stood in the fire for God's truth. And I look forward to standing with you. And I'm just thankful for everybody here and for this ministry.
Well, I am very, very thankful to be here. And I am so thankful that years and years ago, Naomi was in Tulsa, and that she encouraged me to listen to a sermon tape that totally just gripped my heart. And I think I wore that sermon tape out. And it was about the liberty that we have in Christ. And that just set a fire under me. And I wanted my kids, my family, to live and capture the heart of that truth too. And so I am so thankful that we moved here, and that my children grew up in the school and in this church, and I am just so thankful for the truth that we have and that we can live and we can share.
Well, I'm thankful for the last couple of years. 2020 was, I think for everybody, was hard. 2021 wasn't a whole lot better. But as Chris was talking about, the old guard and the new guard kind of passing the torch. For me, 2021 was really kind of a proud moment because I got to see so many of the younger people in our church that that we've had the opportunity to be examples to and to try and teach. I saw them do some really hard things that made me proud to have them as part of this and to feel good about passing the torch. I'm not done yet. I don't think any of us are, but you know, there are times when, you know, sometimes things have to change and sometimes things have to move on and you have to be willing to pass it down to the next generation. And for me, 2020 and 2021 was kind of like a proving ground. And we saw some people falter. We saw some people fall. We saw some people fall away. That's always hard, but I feel really good about our future. I feel really proud of the people that are younger people. And I say younger, that's anyone younger than me. So, but anyway, there's not many. But I just feel confident and feel good about what I'm seeing because so many times it's always been the torchbearers that kind of carry things through. And, you know, we can only live so long. We can only stay healthy for so long. We can only do so much just because of the limitations of this body that we have, this physical body. But to know that we have people who are coming up that are taking this truth and running with it and creating now the next guard, if you will, to pass it down to, that encourages me. So in 2022, I want to continue doing what I've been doing. You know, I feel like that a lot of 2020 and 2021 was damage control. So you just kind of keep your eye on the prize and just kind of deal with things as they come because you can't stop some of it. But I just want to continue to bury my will in God's will and continue to keep my eye looking forward. And despite the stumbles that I have, whether it be between my two ears, whether it be something I do outwardly, that I can be okay with that and know that it's okay to fumble because I know where I'm headed.
I'd like to thank God that I'm here a part of this group because there's nowhere else in the world I'd rather be. And I'm very thankful for the freedom that we can have in Christ. And this next year, I look forward to experiencing that freedom more.
This last year, 2021, wow. That's the word. It has been full of many ups and downs, but one thing for me is I feel like 2021 was a year of tremendous growth for me. And it hasn't been easy, but I can honestly say that I am looking forward to the future, and I feel like for 2022, I feel like for many of us, it's going to be our best year yet. And I really mean that. And I just look forward to Christ helping me grow. And I just want to be able to be a part of going out and touching this world. There's people out there who are waiting, desperately waiting for this truth. And I'm just so excited for our future. And so I can't wait.
Well, I guess that I'm last this year, and I just want to thank God someone like Mike Akins started all of this. And I'm just so thankful that each of you guys have lived the life that you've lived. It inspires me, and I know it inspires all of us young people. And I want you guys to know that you young people inspire me, and I'm so looking forward to every minute of every second that we get to spend impacting the world in a way that the world has never seen.
because Christ said we will do greater things than he. And I believe 100% that what Mike started when you were younger and when you were a little boy and you were dreaming about doing something for God, as you look out and you see all of us, I'm thankful that that's your legacy. And it's not going to stop there, because all of the lives that we touch will be this man's legacy, Christ through you. So thank you, Mike, for starting all that you've started. Amen. And I'm looking forward to seeing what all of us finish because of what you started.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. There's a point that Christ says that we won't need a light because he'll be our light. So turn on the light. It's Christ's light. And we'll blow out our little small lights.
Oh, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Okay, everybody that said we're passing things down to the young people. As long as I'm alive, I'm not passing anything down to you all. Now, what I'm doing, I'm reeling you in, right? It's more like we're reeling you guys into what we're doing. As long as we're alive, I just want to correct that thing.